This week on the Commander Clash podcast, we're talking about the best cards from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Commander Clash podcast, where the Commander Clash crew talks all things Commander. And this week, we're going to be talking about TMNT. And this set, it's actually kind of juiced and has a bunch of crazy Commander cards. And joining me to do this, we got the full crew, Phil and Krim and Tomer. How's it going today, guys?
It's pizza time.
It's pizza.
Bro, I ate pizza at the event. I went to an event for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It was amazing. But like before we went to the event, we're like, we're hungry. What should we eat? We should eat pizza.
Pizza.
And then we did. And then at the event, guess what they served? Obviously pizza. And then I did a draft the next day. And it's like, well, what's easy to order in? It's pizza. So I had three pizzas in a row.
I feel like I think it'd be a really funny video if you had to eat the actual pizzas from the TMNT set, like guac and oatmeal and like so
Seth,
forth.
You and I can eat the anchovy and marshmallow if you want.
I don't want to do it. It'd be funny if you guys did that.
I would do guac and marshmallow. I was saying to people that I would try it, and like they're saying it's crazy, but it's like, you know, I like pineapple on pizza. So
spicy
like,
oatmeal.
That is blasphemy on its own. But yeah, like I did see someone online made spicy oatmeal pizza, like in real life. I think it's on Blue Sky and it looks really good.
I mean, I got it.
No
fact,
Italians are watching.
I've been on a diet for like 2 months. And since the January the 17th, I've been eating pizza every day.
Oh my god!
I found this dough recipe.
Part of your diet?
And it's just, yeah, I found this.
You're on
Greek
a meals
yogurt,
diet. wait, what? Phil, whatever. Vegas,
dough,
Phil's like, I'm my diet. I make ice cream every day. Now he tells
me. Oh yeah,
me
ice cream as well.
Day.
Yeah, ice cream
Phil
every day.
Yeah,
if you make it yourself, you can really nail down the macros, and it's every day ice cream pizza.
Can you tell Rodrigo that I'm going on an ice cream diet, please?
Phil knows how to diet.
Yeah, I'm down.
Anyway, today we're talking TMNT cards. We've picked a bunch of our favorites. The list is super huge, so we better get into it. But first, we got a couple of sponsors today. Today's show is brought to you by Foil Armor. Do you have problems with your foils curling? Well, Foil Armor is the ultimate solution for flattening your foils. It's a two-way humidity pack that you simply put inside an airtight container with your cards, and Foil Armor will absorb and release moisture, making your cards completely flat. Put a pack in your storage box to keep your cards flat forever, and you can head over to foilarmor.com and use the code MTGGoldfish to get 15% off. Our show is also brought to you by Card Conduit, the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. If you ever get tired of the hassles of buy listing, you can skip them with Card Conduit. You can use their curated service where you send in as many cards as you want with a buy list value of a dollar or more and pay just a 5% service fee. And if you want to do a bit of work, you can use their sorted service where you list and sort your cards in advance and pay just a 2% fee. Either way, you're going to get a detailed report with the results and a fast payment once your order is processed. And you can even get another 10% off by heading over to cardconduit.com/mtggoldfish. Card Conduit, it's the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. So thank you to our sponsors for supporting the show. And now it's time for the comment of the week. So last week, we did another round of Commander Family Feud, and our top comment comes from @HearseCarpool, who says, petition to make Feud Clash a regular thing. Mm-hmm. People like the Family Feud Clash. We actually probably should do that more often.
I love it, yeah.
It is fun. Someone also, this didn't make the top comment, it was like the third comment, but someone also said we should bring in other podcasts and have them be a team and do like Team Goldfish first, whatever, bring in someone else. And I was like, that actually could be like kind of a fun crossover to bring in someone else to battle against. But then the next comment was, don't do that because you guys will lose.
Now we have to do it. We have our honor on the line.
Yeah, so maybe we'll set that up for the future. But anyway, let's talk some Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cards. And like usual, we're going to go around the table, take turns picking some of our favorite and what we think are the best cards from the set for Commander. And we're going to start today with Krim, because you're the first name on the spreadsheet that we put everything down in. So Krim.
I did it.
Give us a card that you think is going to be good in Commander from TMNT.
Okay, so I don't actually hear a lot of people talking about this, and I don't know why, but Northampton Farm. This is a land that taps for colorless. You can pay one to tap it, exile a creature you own. And then pay two, sacrifice this land, return a creature card exiled with this land to the battlefield under your control, return other cards exiled with this land to its owner's hand. So if over time, this is an emergency save your creature by sending them to a farm up north. but like in a good way. And this one, I don't know, the versatility in being able to pay one tap and exile your own creature, that does a lot of work in saving from spot removal, board wipes, and you kind of stockpile all your creatures over time that were probably going to get blown up anyways, and then you get it all back at a later point. And one of them even goes to the battlefield. Is this not good?
Endless Sands good? I always think Endless Sands should be good.
No,
like super upgraded, right? Because like Endless Sands is two mana to exile a creature. So this is, okay, so three total mana because you have to tap Endless Sands too. This is two total mana. And then four to sacrifice, but you get all the creatures back on the battlefield.
It is a desert.
This one's better just because it's cheaper, so it's more likely that you actually keep the mana up.
Easier to leave the mana up, yeah.
Exactly. I like, because as opposed to like, yeah, you would spend two mana, tap the land, that's three mana to then save a creature. Not really worth it. Four mana then to pop everything, right? But I think tuning the numbers here, it's subtle, but I like it, right? Two mana to essentially save a creature, and then two to pop it, and then return one thing back and get everything back to hand. That's more beneficial because then I can also, just like we learned with airbending, when I get my ETBs and choosing that is very important in how like I dictate the play of like, you know, my sequencing and all of that. And this just gives me more options there. So I think Northampton Farm's like kind of good.
It seems especially good to me in Crim-style decks. Like, if you're playing a deck where you're going to be leaving up mana during your opponent's turn a lot of the time for other reasons, this card seems insane. Because then when your opponent goes to kill your thing or whatever, it goes to Wrath and you just blink it out. So I feel like two mana to leave up isn't that bad. I don't think it's, like, staple level for me that I jam in any deck. But if I have, like, room for another colorless land, because I'm, like, mono-colored, maybe some two-color decks, and I have other instant speed stuff I'm going to be leaving up, I think this card's in the conversation at least.
Send them to Dagestan 2 years and forget. It's like kind of the meme there. You just exile a couple of creatures and then you remember on turn like 12. It's like, dang. I got all these creatures.
Yeah, no, I think the card's a sweet one. All right, let's move on to next on our list. We have Tomer. Tomer, what's a TMNT card that's going to be good in Commander?
This one seems kind of cracked to me. I'm very excited for it. It is Continue? From the Commander precon. It's two mana, one and a white, instant. Choose up to four target creature cards in your graveyard that were put there from the battlefield this turn. Return them to the battlefield. So first off, this card seems very, very mana efficient in an aristocrat style deck. If you're sacrificing a bunch of your creatures, specifically non-token creatures, sacrifice a whole bunch of them for two mana, you get four of them back immediately. So it's like a souped up brought back in that regard if you're focusing on creatures. Then it also doubles as a pretty kind of sweet protection spell for opposing board wipes. Like if somebody tries to wipe your board, you get to save four of the creatures. And obviously it's competing with other things that care about like giving your stuff indestructible and giving your stuff hexproof and stuff like that. But I think this really shines if you have creatures with death effects. Like you're like, I'm okay with my creatures dying. I want them back, but you know, like I want them to die and everything. And that, I think that's where Continue is really, really exciting to me. Like if I'm in any sort of like white based aristocrat stack, this thing's like top of my list in terms of like tricks to add. What do you guys think?
I've been on the fence about this one. So like, I can see how it's powerful. The first thing I saw anyone say about this is, oh, it's going to break Legacy. So I think that's made me a little bit skeptical. Ooh. when that was the first tweet I saw about this. What, I was why? Like, I don't know about that. My question for this card is, we have stuff like Face Reward, Second Sunrise, stuff that just like gets all your stuff. You mentioned Brought Back. There's other stuff that, like, if I just want to get all my creatures back, is this better than, like, Face Reward is 4 mana instant speed, return all your permanents that went to the graveyard from the battlefield this turn into play, so we can get your entire board back after Wrath. I know it is, like, double the mana, because it's 4 mana rather than 2, so I wonder, like, I don't know, I don't really play Face Reward as protection for board wipes. Is this enough better. I guess in the Aristocrat deck, if I'm turning this into a combo piece, like reanimating three or four things for two mana is kind of an insane deal, even with the timing restriction. There has to be stuff that like goes in the graveyard this turn. I'm on the fence about this one. I'm not like fully sold on this card being insane, but I can see how it's powerful. What do you, Krim and Phil, think on this one? You guys think this card's like staple level? Like, how good is this?
I don't like things that say they left the board this turn. I like things. I would rather, it depends on what kind of deck I'm in, right? Like if I'm in, say, a deck with black, I would just play like Bloodline Bidding and a full mass reanimation spell if I wanted to bring back my creatures. Yes, it's eight mana or whatever, but it's just never been a card playstyle I like of like the brought back types, right? And the Faith's Rewards. I've never liked them. Dang. I want to be able to draw it at a later point and still get value.
Dang. Y'all, what about two mana though?
Let's see.
That's two mana.
It's really efficient at its cost.
So brought back is two mana but two permanents, which is, let's be honest here, fetch lands and everything are very, very sweet with this. If you have a bunch of Sakura Tribe Elders and stuff, like there are cards, it's gonna feel sweet if you Sakura Tribe Elder sack something else and then continue and just get the two creatures, maybe finagle it in a way with a block, do it instant speed, get three creatures, otherwise it would just be a brought back. It looks like you could do cool things, but I'm not gonna be the one who tries it.
I'll be the one who tries it.
I think I'm coming around a little bit. Like, specifically in Aristocrat style decks, like Tisa Karlov, maybe, or Rotted Robic, something like this actually just build around sacrificing your stuff and you're in white. Then I can see how this is kind of insane, right? Like, you just have a free sack outlet, you sack a bunch of stuff, you trigger a bunch of Blood Artists, two mana, get all your stuff back, reuse your death triggers or ETB triggers. So I actually think, like, in those commanders, I think this card could be pretty good. I don't think I would just play it as, like, Wrath Protection in a non-sacrifice deck. I don't think it's, like, that level good. But in the Aristocrats deck, I can see what this can do. Like, four creatures for two mana is just so efficient. It's got to do something, right, Tomer?
I think you play the card. A card like that does this kind of leaves the battlefield kind of effect that I do like is Cosmic Intervention, the one with Foretell.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But like, that's because that gets everything, right? And it's I get stowed away and, you know, just have it come back at a later point. I like that. This one, I don't know. It's only four permanents. I think it's more of the design style of the card. I'm just not a fan of these kind of effects. So I think that's it is efficient at what it's doing, though. Like, I think it's a lot better than brought back, especially in a creature deck. But it's more of just this style of card that I don't like.
Well, we'll see. I'm going to be jamming it whenever possible, along with Ink Shield.
Show
Ink
us.
Shield
Show
is forever. Ink Shield is forever.
I'm back off of it, yeah. If it's part of the Ink Shield package.
It goes very well with the Ink Shield package. Come on.
Phil, it's up to you. Give us a good TMNT card.
All right, so there are a bunch of, and especially the cards I picked here, there's so much artifact support in this set. Mm-hmm. And even though I'm probably not going to get any cards from it, this one, I have to admit, seems a little pushed, maybe even for standard, although that's irrelevant here. It might be even better for standard. It's not legendary. So it's 2 mana, 2/1 Ravenous Robots. When you cast an artifact spell, create a 1/1 colorless robot chicken artifact creature token. It's little chickens or dinosaurs.
I think they're
For 1 mana and tap it, creature tokens you control gain haste until end of turn. So 2-drop. That would trigger it itself if you play multiples, which you can't, but all your artifacts will now come with an artifact, which is, I mean, we've seen it multiple times. It's like Psy, it's like the new Affinity thing.
There's a warp one.
I would love to play this. Even this one doesn't even have one of those turtles on there, so you would, it's still in the set symbol. I can't look away. I might just still skip this entire set again, but I gotta say, the cards are pretty good this time. And this one seems so pushed. It's crazy that it's not legendary. It's so efficient.
It's like Young Pyromancer for artifacts.
Yeah.
Except like,
but the artifacts are
upgraded.
Way easier.
You can get haste, and artifacts are free, and they're colorless. Yeah, I think this card...
What's,
if the goal of your deck is just to go super wide, so it reminds me, Pinnacle Emissary was the one that we got from Edge of Eternities. Yeah. It's similar. We also have weapons manufacturing that doesn't make creatures, but it's another, like, whenever you have an artifact, you get to make an artifact. So it reminds me of being along those lines. I think if you're an artifact deck that's like an affinity style deck, if you're playing like Imskir or you're playing Braid, like a go wide, I just want a ton of artifacts on the battlefield. A Burdaclad, I think, would be really good there if you're playing a bunch of artifacts. I think this card's great in any deck like that. Like, if you're just a go-wide artifact deck, it's kind of like one of the most powerful cards in your deck, right? Just everything comes along with a free artifact is exactly what you want if all you care about is getting as many artifacts on the board as possible.
Yeah, I opened a couple of packs and I immediately saw it. I'm like, wait a minute, this card is absolutely insane. I didn't see this at all. Mm-hmm. And I threw it in my Tetsun deck, which is just Jeskai artifacts. And it's like a lot. Well, I have all the most efficient like token generators because you can like run stuff that convoke with your artifacts and, you know, your Karns and Blinkmoth urns and stuff give you mana equal to the number of artifacts you control and all that good stuff. So. Yeah, it pops up. And the fact that it's a two-drop artifact generator, and it's an artifact itself. Being an artifact itself is such a huge boon, too, by the way, because that means it like gets all the other synergies, like cost reducers on artifacts you control, so you can cast it for one mana, or if you mass reanimate only artifacts, it comes back to you. It's like, card's very good. Card's very good.
Yeah, I love this one. I'm also, much like Phil had mentioned, I cannot wait to try this in Standard, but that is also irrelevant here. But the main thing here is I think this card is a very strong card. And having that additional ability to give haste, oh, beautiful.
And it triggers Caretaker's talent. Just
and
saying.
It triggers Caretaker's talent.
Sorry to not mention it.
All right, moving on. For my first pick, I'm going to start with a card that I find very cringy and is actually kind of boring, but I think it's like just a staple. So we got to talk about it because the card seems insane to me in Lessons from Life. So Lessons from Life, it's a 4-mana Simic Sorcery. For 4 mana, you draw 3 cards and you put a land from your hand onto the battlefield tap. So if you've ever played with Urban Evolution, very similar to Urban Evolution, except one less mana. And the difference between 5 mana and 4 mana is so huge for the playability of this card. I think, Tomer, I've seen you. Didn't you play Urban Evolution recently on a Commander Clash? Like, Urban Evolution is actually
deck,
not that far away from being playable, but being one less mana is such a big deal. So I think this card is actually just like a Simic staple where any Simic deck, I would play this. I'm still a Harmonize believer. I still play Harmonize in my green decks just for drawing 3 for 4 mana. And being able to put an extra land into play is so good. I kind of hate the art on the card because it's like turtles playing magic, which just seems so weird. It just seems so weird and like, I don't know. It's just kind of cringy to me. But I think the card is incredibly powerful. And I think Wizards knew the art was a little bit risky because this is one of the cards they gave a very generic name. So I imagine we get a Magic in-universe Lessons from Life in a Commander pre-con a year from now or something, because I think it's like that good of a card. But what do you guys think? Is this like a staple, like a Simic staple? Is it that good?
I mean, I've long embraced the cringe. I mean, I've cringed when we got to Walking Dead, and now I'm just like, whatever. Bring me the Coke secret lair, you know? Like, I don't care anymore. It's fine. But I'm curious, what is the Stave Puffed Marshmallow Man doing on this artwork?
I thought that was an extra ninja.
There's an extra ninja. I know that's like Lido or something, but they have more than 4 turtles. Apparently the lore is quite deep here, but this opened my eyes. And they play Magic. Apparently Magic is canon in the
TNT universe.
Also,
that's amazing.
As an artist, what happened with the perspectives on the cards there? This looks...
Well, it makes sense.
Insanely sloppy. No. There's something wrong with the perspective. It's... What happened? The cards look like they are sitting on the table like this, and then in his hand, they're like... He holds them like this.
Well, he wants to show the camera.
Oh, he really wants to show you. It looks like
he's
scaled
I'm about to spool
this magic artwork
this little
on
marshmallow
there.
Soon.
Or...
It's a ghost.
Gotta say,
I'm not as big.
Oh, it's Casper.
It is Casper.
Like Casper.
Oh my!
It looks like
an AI
problem.
Some
guys. It really does. Didn't
turtle
they?
from the comics or something? Like, someone said it's like an actual part of TMNT lore.
I know Jenica is the fifth turtle, the one with the yellow.
That's a yellow
headband.
Because I know there's like Jenica's technique or something. I'm like, okay, I see the name now.
The little white turtle is an albino mutant turtle named Lita that was introduced in episode 101 of the IDW comic book, apparently.
Okay,
so Lita.
Okay,
Lita's
IDW published
character.
It. Nice.
But yes. So
card's good though.
Card's good though, right? Like the card is bonkers, right?
Yeah,
you play it in every Simic deck.
It's playable.
No,
maybe.
No, you don't think it's that good?
I know, I would, but like I'm so heavy on like synergy and theme and like things. So like I don't really like generic cards.
So this would be for like your fourth wall breaking tribal deck or something.
I guess.
I wish they could go in my Deadpool deck.
It's going into my blurpy blue. But no, I think you could just say like, oh, I need one more card in my Simic deck, and you throw this in, and you're usually not going to be wrong for doing so. I think you're 9 times out of 10, it's correct. Like, it's just a very generically good card.
Yeah.
It looks so off, guys. Sorry. Something's wrong with this.
I think Richard and I might be the only ones who kind of like the artwork.
Kerr and Richard both like the art.
I think the art is fine.
It's
just
so
like,
goofy.
I don't care about cringe anymore. Like, I'm so desensitized to it.
It's like the, because Richard pointed it out, and I loved all those promos too, but it's the old, like there's a Lord of the Undead, a Harbinger, or whatever, the Merfolk Lord, and they're all playing Magic and at their LGS, that wave of promos. I love those promos. Those promos are hilarious.
I'm happy for people who enjoy it. It doesn't bother me. It's not my favorite thing, but it's just like, I don't care. I'm so neutral.
It's funny because I think Phil's issue is from like a graphic design perspective. He's not arguing that it's just cringe. Something is off in my artist brain. There's something that's not quite right with the image, which is not a criticism I've seen, but I'm sure you're probably right because you're way better at that stuff than I am. Anyway, let's move on. Let's move on to another card. Let's get past lessons from life. We're back to the top of the order. Krim, what do you got for us?
Well, okay, so there's a sweet new mill spell. If you haven't seen it by now, it's called Kitsune's Technique. It's 4 blue-blue. It's 6 mana, instant speed, but it has sneak for 1 and a blue. Target opponent mills half their library rounded up with sneak. Now, there's a very real world. If I just swing with Runecraft and you don't block it, I actually could get you.
I mean,
this card is sweet.
I like, this is actually my favorite thing about the set is I'm a huge ninjutsu fan. I love ninjutsu mechanic. And I think my biggest gripe about ninjutsu is that it was tied to ninjas and we so rarely see ninjas showing up in Magic. I just want to get more ninjutsu cards. And sneak is like, it is another spin on ninjutsu. It's different. I think I like it overall more because it's a little bit more easy to understand.
It's way
more
intuitive.
Yeah. And it's open to like into the sorceries and stuff like that, and it's just like, basically, if you show me a sneak card, I'm like hell yeah, I love it. Like, I just think about like, oh, I can reuse enter the battlefield triggers, and I can do all these things, and you're getting a cost reduction on casting it, and yeah, like attacking over Runecrag and being like, nope, blocked, boom, gotcha.
It was a meme before, but now it's not a meme.
Now
but
it's actually death.
There is something that we have to also like. I really want to point out that a lot of people may not know, and it is that. When you are ninjutsuing, that's an activated ability. When you are sneaking, you are casting this spell. Training grounds won't reduce the cost of this, but it will reduce the cost of ninjutsu. So,
should we point out the difference between ninjutsu and sneak before we talk about?
Do we read what sneak does?
It is.
I don't even remember.
Oh yeah.
So you may cast this card for its sneak cost. If you do, also return an unblocked attacker you control to hand during the declare blocker step. So way less shenanigans, but kind of plays the same.
You can't do the cute, like all of that stuff. I really like how intuitive sneak works now. It's way, I guess it is easier than what ninjutsu is.
Yeah.
But even then, a simplified version of ninjutsu is still a little intricate because breaking
nobody
down
know
the
what
steps.
The declare block step yeah, is. Yeah. Any new player, yeah, they yeah. don't know what it is. They just swing their creatures.
Yeah, like, so, yeah. I think it happens all at the same time. Yeah. No, yeah, like phases. There's like 12 of them or something. I don't even know.
Yeah, there's actually a bunch of steps to combat. But I think it is a more intuitive version yeah. of ninjutsu. And it is like so cool to see ninjutsu work on spells. Like, because ninjutsu yeah. is also one of my favorite mechanics. This one is definitely a crim card. I think it is probably the best traumatized. Like, assuming your goal is to mill your opponent, I feel like this is the best version of the mill half your library we've gotten so far. The only mm-hmm. little downside I could see is traumatize can hit yourself. So there's some like graveyard decks where maybe you'd want to traumatize Dang. Yourself just to get a ton of cards in the graveyard. But if you're just playing like whatever, Burvac or Phoenix or Mindskinner, and you're just trying to mill your opponents out, this card seems absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I wish it did target yourself. Is this an arena thing? Did they just say like we want to save a click? I hope not. But yeah, Ooh. It would have been nice if you could hit yourself with it. But
I actually think it was an overpowered thing. Like, I think this card would
be yeah, probably.
Maybe, like, modern good if you could play it in, like, Dredge and just play a one drop and then mill half your deck the next turn and probably win the game, yeah.
Think about how already in Standard as well, if Sultai self-mill the Superior Spider-Man Bringer of Last Gift, swing, ninjutsu, target yourself, my whole graveyard's stacked, bringer now. Now I definitely kill you. Whereas before, they'd have to fish. They have to keep fishing and self-milling. So probably better that you can't self-mill.
Yeah, yeah, that's actually true. I even just like 2 mana traumatizes is very scary to me on an opponent. Like, yeah. That's just like spooky.
Yes!
I'm excited for this one. It looks cool.
And there's actually like a whole bunch of these, and I think they're all very like interesting for Commander. So keep the techniques in mind in general. There's like a whole cycle of these spells where they like become very, very powerful. You can sneak them in, and then you also get the upside, like Tomer said, of being able to maybe reuse the ETB or whatever as you go along. So yeah, I think the whole cycle is very, very good.
I have one that I was going to mention, too. It's actually Ooh. Raphael's technique.
All right, well, Tomer, it's your turn, next one so on my let's go over to you.
I was a little layup there, Krim, over there. Wait, no, it's not actually Raphael's technique. I lied. It's another one. But it is Raphael.
Hey, close
this
enough.
This one is going straight into my Clive deck. It's Raphael the Night Watcher. It's a 4-mana red. Legendary creature, Mutant Ninja Turtle, 2/3 with sneak of 3 mana, 1 and double red. Attacking creatures you control have double strike. So my Clive deck is a little bit of Enter the Battlefield shenanigans because Clive's own ability, if you don't know, it's just like it's a wheel effect for just yourself. You discard your hand, then you draw a whole bunch of cards on Enter the Battlefield effect. And I have a bunch of creatures that also care about Enter the Battlefield effects, and it's also a very aggressive deck. So in this context, this card is like perfect here because giving my creatures double strike at like in a sneaky way is amazing because it can lead to blowouts against my opponents. So you don't know the sneak's coming and then or double strike's coming and then like boom, 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 surprise. It's everything gets double strike. You're going to take a whole bunch of damage. And it's even better because if you don't block like Clive or any of my other good Enter the Battlefield creatures, I get to bring them back, bounce them back to my hand and reuse them too. And all this for 3 mana on a sneak ability, that's amazing. And it's also not bad to just cast it for 4 mana and swing in with your other creatures and have double strike. Like this is one of the cheapest. Variants of like attacking creatures you control have double strike we've seen in red at least. So yeah, I'm super
and
hyped
you,
for this.
You know
one.
You love that double red pip because Clive loves a good old amount of devotion, right?
Yes. Yeah, when he gets bounced and cast again, that's 2 more cards that he's drawing.
I think this actually is the cheapest way. The other like competition, Blade Historian, is also 4 mana, but it's like
also
four hybrid Boros, so it's very tricky to cast. And then Blast Furnace Hellkite, in theory, can be cheap if you have an artifact offering, but I think this is the best version of it. And having Sneak is really ridiculous on this card because something like Blade Historian or like any of the sorcery speed versions of this effect, much less scary, right? Because like you can see them coming. So you know, everything has double strike. I better block some more stuff or I might die here. But the fact that this is mass double strike that comes down during combat after blockers have been declared, like that's just going to kill people. Like the card's so good if you're trying to be aggressive.
Also, you can hypothetically... Okay. So does this mean with sneak, you can't do the first strike ninjutsu trick, though?
No.
No,
you can't.
Unfortunately,
because
it's
during the declare blocker step, not during the damage, like the combat damage step.
Yep.
But yeah, with ninjutsu, if you don't know, by the way, if you have a first strike happening, you can and the creature isn't blocked, you can deal first strike damage, then... Before regular damage is dealt, you can ninjutsu in your creature, and then that creature will do its regular damage afterwards, which is
because
absolutely
this
hilarious.
This is not a trust me, bro moment. It sounds like it, but like that's because first strike makes a little damage step happen before the regular damage step.
Yeah.
Who would have thought we'd be talking about combat damage phases and stuff so much this podcast?
Ninjutsu is not intuitive, but God, it feels so good to feel like you get these very clever moments and you're like, we get the first damage phase and then we get the regular damage phase.
And the best
can I
part
tell
is
you about
up,
layers?
Yeah, you end up dealing like two damage, but it's like the biggest range two damage you've ever dealt.
And then everybody's
so
like, whoa, Krim, that was so amazing.
All right, I'm going to hit you for 40 now.
I crater hoof, I swoop for lethal, like, well.
No, but that first strike damage,
though. Yeah, bro, extra two.
All right, let's move on. Let's move on to Phil's next pick. Phil, what's another good TMNT card?
All right, I got another Raphael, actually. Ooh. And this one is... It might be more...
Of course,
it
Phil.
It might seem more play than the Mythic and the other one. It is very boring, but I guess super pushed. 2 mana, 1/3 alliance. Whenever another creature enters, it deals 1 damage to, I guess, target opponent. But we've seen, like, pingers with ETBs for, like, 3 mana with, like, molten thingy and the other allegiance thing. Oh, I should probably... Witty, Roastmaster and stuff. So whenever you need to gain speed or ping the opponent for any value... You kind of want every way to do it and every way to trigger anything. So artifacts entering, creatures entering, something, something. And the two drop curve is, I mean, it's easy to do at 3 mana. You can get it a lot. But 2 mana, is there something that pings for 2 whenever a creature enters? Not every opponent, but it just seems like one of those cards that becomes a staple in group luck decks or however, pinger decks. I just want to mention it. It's a common. It's just straight up Ninja Turtle that's curling bowling balls.
How is he a 1/3 if he's lifting them bowling balls? I don't know. I don't know about that. He's the tough turtle with his weights and he's a 1/3, but I feel like this card's pretty good. Like it's,
I think... By the way, on that topic, though, Seth, I think you should know, though, you are underestimating how strong magic characters are, is what I'm getting here.
Oh, that.
Have you thought about it that way?
That is
you
a good
have
point.
To lift bowling ball dumbbells to be as strong as, I don't know, the pinger from the Roastmaster.
Well, there's like trained warriors that are just 1/1s, right? Like we have soldiers and everything. They're just 1/1s. They get beaten up by a goat, you know, like
you gotta not think about it too much. Your ass it falls apart.
Really mean anything anymore. I don't think it ever did, honestly.
This card, though, so I'm curious what you guys think about this one. So I have a Norin deck, thanks to Tomer. I got the sleeveless Norin deck. I've made some upgrades to it. Do you think this card's good enough for Norin, Tomer? So there's other, like, so it reminds me of, like, Impact Tremors. There's also some versions of creatures that do similar things. I think the closest to this is a Gate Instigator from Bloomborough Commander, which is a 2-mana 1/3. It is expensive. It's like a 2-mana 1/3 that deals damage to each opponent when it enters. So there's a few versions of this. My only concern with playing this in Norin, and I wanted your opinion on it, Tomer, is it only pings one opponent. When, like, an Impact Tremors or some of the other versions hit each opponent, in Commander in specific, and 1v1, it doesn't matter. And I imagine this is like a pauper card, at least. I could see it seeing standard play, maybe if there's a right shell for it. But do you think it's good enough for a deck like Norin, Tomer, even if you're hitting one opponent instead of multiple opponents?
I would say no. Like, okay. It's like, okay, Agate Instigator's expensive. There's Impact Tremors at 2 as well. And then most other things at 3. But also, I don't know, man.
Shocking Sharpshooter is the card from
Tarkir. That's the one I was trying to pick this up
for my speed deck.
I feel like hitting all 3 is just so much more like, it's worth that extra mana usually. And then, like, how many do you need at this point? There's another one that's, like, 5 mana. It's a lot of mana, but it's like, Slash or something, and it's basically, Purphoros.
I mean, you can get Purphoros at some point.
Yeah, Purphoros is 4. That's, like, the best, because it's also indestructible. Like, that's insane.
I think Slash I'm going to try adding, because it is 5 mana, which is a lot, but it is 2 damage to each opponent whenever a creature enters, so that actually adds up a lot once you get Norn going. This card I do like. I think this card does have uses. I do think there's just a lot of competition, a lot of similar effects to this, but maybe if you have, like, Mutant Ninja Turtle themes, like, the creature types matter, and they do stack well. Like, if you're playing a deck build around it, you often want a lot of these effects or redundancy, because you really got to have one on the battlefield. So I think there's a role for this, Raphael, for sure. Well, let's move on to my next pick. And for my next pick, I got a card that I'm very intrigued by. This card is a card I hadn't really thought much about till recently. And then I was looking for cards for the podcast, and I was reading through the set, and this card caught my eye. I was like, wait, is this card actually, like, kind of bonkers if you're in an aggro deck? The card is Endless Foot Assault. So Endless Foot Assault, it's a 3-mana enchantment. It has squad of 2, which means when you cast this, you can pay 2 mana any number of times. For each time you do, you get a copy of it. And then its ability is, whenever you attack, for each opponent, create a 1/1 black ninja creature token that's tapped in attacking that player. So essentially, whenever you attack one time, you're going to get a token that's attacking each of your opponents. You don't have to attack each of your opponents. And then you can potentially squad this 2 times, 3 times if you have a bunch of mana, and end up in a position where every turn when you attack, you're just getting this whole army of ninja tokens that are smashing into your opponents. And yes, they're tapped and attacking. Yes, they're 1/1, so they're probably going to die anyway. But if you're doing any sort of, like, aristocrat shenanigans or whatever, it reminds me of that wacky old enchantment that Phil played that made a whole bunch of zombies and they all sacrifice themselves and then you die. Just, like, the amount of bodies this can add to the battlefield each turn. If you have sacrifice effects, it seems really good. So I don't know. I haven't heard people talk about this card. Do you think this card's any good? Am I off base, Kramir? What's funny? What did I get wrong?
It's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong at all. I just think it's a great card.
Oh, wait, you're the foot guy. I forgot. You're the foot guy. That's right. I was a foot thing.
I can't take this seriously either. I feel like, was the lore designed by Quentin Tarantino? I don't understand.
So I had to look into this, and I found out that the foot and all of that is inspired by Daredevil's The Hand. So you have the hand, the foot.
Okay, that's funny.
Let's hope it's not funny. Nickelodeon.
The main thing here is now you get to, I usually say I'm going to tickle you for some damage. I don't know if I can say that anymore after playing
Endless
Foot
Assault.
I'll footsie
you for some damage? Just a little toe?
I think I got to cut that one out of my vocabulary when I go to combat. Otherwise, I do think this card is very good.
it's like sneaky Adeline, which is cool. I think it's very good. And it makes ninjas, which, like, if you're caring about ninjas, this is one of, like, the most mana efficient ways of getting ninjas on the battlefield, right?
But it does something weird in that, like, ninjas for the longest time have never cared about going wide, right? And that's why the idea of Lord effects have always been so bad in ninjas, right? Mm-hmm. But maybe now with this set, there's tons of things that help you go wide. And, like, because I built the Splinter deck, and that deck is so much fun. And, oh my God, it for the first time, it does feel like endless hordes of foot guys coming and getting, you know, just jumping on the board. You know what I mean? It's kind of sick. Tomer, listen. You got to listen, dude. What are you thinking about right now?
Duffing off feet, man.
I got to say, when I saw this card in spoiler season, I thought it was a creature, and I thought it was one of those, I don't know, just classic pre-con things, like kind of all of the squad cards where you think, like, oh, it's cool if you squad them up and get, like, a bunch of them. But as an enchantment, that actually seems very sweet.
It's the bottom row of this call is cracking me up down there. My God. I think Krim mentioned the ninja creature type. I don't think you got to be a ninja deck to like the Endless Foot Assault. I think I think that something like Arabella, maybe any sort of Jetmir, like just any deck that wants to go wide and benefits from going wide and making a whole bunch of these endless foot assault enchantment seems very, very strong there. So I don't know. I think in those decks it's going to be very good, but yeah. Maybe
so much feet.
Maybe so yeah, maybe that's just too much feet. All right, let's go back to the top, and we got to get off this card, or we're never gonna finish this podcast. Let's go back. Let's go back to Footmaster Krim here. Krim, what's your next pick?
Look, you wanted the foot deck, Krim.
Yeah, dude. Oh man. Okay. So I'm gonna take it away from feet for a second, and I'm gonna move to an enchantment that, you know, we were kind of actually talking about. Magic cards kind of doing everything, and like how like Ice Tilt Explorer is an all-in-one engine and all of that. Well, what about Ninja Pizza? I think this enchantment is really good. Two and a green. Foods you control have tap, sack this artifact, add one mana of any color. So you can turn all your foods into treasures. Okay, sure. Whatever. That's kind of a do-nothing. But it also fuels itself, because at the beginning of your second main phase, create a food token. So this is an enchantment that kind of just does it all by itself. Is this not really good?
That seems very good, right? It turns food into treasure, and anything that would create treasure instead of food is very, very good all of a sudden. Right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in food, you're running this card. It's slightly worse, I would say, than like... There's like a green choose a commander from Baldur's Gate that like all your artifacts tap for green.
Yeah. Or something. It's a
something like that. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's also three. So it's like slightly worse than that, or like an Urza. But like that said, it's still incredible.
It's
like
different.
If
you're a foot deck.
Oh,
yes.
Oh no! I'm done.
I played a Cabbage Merchant deck not that long ago on Commander Clash. So I went through all the food cards. My impression is this card's very good. There are multiple food cards that just let you tap your food for mana. Like Knights of Sweet's Revenge. Sweet. You don't get to sack them. You can just tack them to make a green mana. There's the whatever the Commander Tomer brought up, whose name I can't think of, Jahira or something like that. So there's a few different ways that you can turn your foods into mana sources, but I think you just play this one too. Like, I think the ability to make a food every turn and sack that for mana, this is kind of a weird 3-mana rock. And then you also get the upside of artifacts leaving the battlefield, sacrifice, synergies. So I think in any sort of food deck, you play this card. I think there's just going to be a little tension with like Knights of Sweet's Revenge, where sometimes you're going to have to choose, like, do I sack my food to make mana now? Do I save them in case I get Knights of Sweet's Revenge later? So I think there's a little tension there, but I think this is just like auto include in any food deck.
You get it generates food, right? Like Knights of Sweet's Revenge only generates the one, right? When it enters. This continuously generates.
I don't know.
Yep. I think it's very good.
It's even kind of clunky wording, right? In your second main phase, we usually don't have this. Most players don't even know there's a second main.
But is there?
I guess most. I'm sorry, but I guess. So like super, super casual. Whatever.
This is Pizza Blossom.
Pushed.
This is Pizza Blossom. This is great.
Yeah, it is Pizza Blossom. Also, it kind of sucks that it's called Ninja Pizza. We're never going to get a reprint from this.
You never know.
All right, let's move on to our next pick. Tober, what's your next TMNT card?
Tomer needs to think about what he's about to say.
Should we stop?
I'm afraid to pick this one because I know what Krim's going to say. And I'm worried, but like it has to be said because it's probably one of the most hype commanders out from the set. So I need to say it because no one else had it on their list. It's Splinter Radical Rat, okay? It's one and double Orzhov hybrid, but its color identity is actually Esper, because it has a blue pip in its activated ability in the card text. So it's actually an Esper commander. 3 mana, 2/4, mutant ninja rat. If an ability of a ninja you control triggers, that ability triggers an additional time, and you can pay 2 mana, 1 and a blue. Target ninja can't be blocked this turn. So this is basically Panharmonicon for ninjas and it can't go into Eureka, thank God. It could have if the hybrid rules actually changed.
No. Nope.
But thank God it didn't. This might be the single best argument for it not. But it is Esper Panharmonicon for ninjas. Is this going to be the thing that finally dethrones Yuriko as the most popular ninja commander? Because you now have access to white, and there's a bunch of new white ninjas coming in the sets.
like yeah, dude.
Like the foot. The foot.
Yeah, yeah. Say it over. Say the thing.
Back around.
So I don't know. It might appeal to a demographic that wants white ninjas in their Dimir decks. So
what or do you guys gives you lovers. Turncoat
foot lovers.
Kinoichi?
Yeah, of course.
That card is awesome in this deck. Okay. Tomer, no joke though. I hope it does dethrone Yuriko. Because
yeah, good luck.
It is the first time. I've got something coming down the pipeline, but like the main thing here is the history of every like ninjas player. Oh, ninjas seem cool. Ninjutsu's dope. I'm going to build Yuriko. Yuriko's busted. I break it apart. I look for a new ninja. Satoru Umezawa. Oh, this looks like ninja. Oh, wait, hold on. No, it's not. It's a way to cheat in Blightsteel Colossus and exactly, other big Eldritch horrors. Okay, that's whack. Goro Goro Satoru. Oh,
love that one.
Finally, time for ninjas. No, you really just win with 5/5 dragons and you're an aggro deck. Splinter. Actually feels like a ninja deck that is winning with ninjas. And that means you're going to have a bunch of wild triggers that are going to double. You're going to do all this to draw 100 cards and deal like 2 damage. And then you're going to get beat down by the rest of the table for drawing 100 cards. But it is actually the ninja play style. And it allows you to, if you have it as a commander, you don't have to go as heavy on the 1-mana unblockable threats because Splinter himself supplies you with that, with his activated ability. So I personally, this has been the ninja commander. As wild as it sounds, I know. And, yo, I play, in my deck, I play both the Splinters so I could say Splinter Twin. And boom, it's a Splinter Twin joke. It has it all.
I feel like this card's very good. I mean, it's Ninja Panharmonicon, essentially, is your commander. So it's right up my alley of what I like to play in commander. I don't think in the grand scheme of things, it'll actually dethrone Yuriko. Yuriko's just so, it's so busted.
But you can't play Yuriko. In the casual pod setting, most often, I don't see a lot of people actually able to play Yuriko. They do a few times, groups tolerate it, and then they boot it, right?
Yeah, it's stuck in like bracket it's a 4 different hell, deck, basically, though. Right?
Yeah.
Like, are you going to put all those Eldrazi into...
But that's not a ninja deck.
I'm just going to throw them. Yeah, I know. That's why I don't think Yuriko is a ninja deck. Like if you play
ninjas in it usually, right? But it's just like it's so oppressive like because Yuriko itself is so oppressive. It's just like if it didn't circumvent the commander tax, I don't think it would have been even a discussion. But like,
but it also doesn't feel like ninjas, right? Yuriko is just a bunch of big spells, you know, top deck manipulation, and that's really all it is, right? This actually plays like ninjas.
I mean, that's good. But here would be my counter argument. We have stuff like Satoru Umezawa that's very ninja y and like really works with the ninjutsu and the whole plan. And people just play Yuriko anyway. Like, according to
because
Yuriko's
least, stronger.
Like, they've printed multiple, like, or Satoru the Infiltrator that, you know, draws you cards when creatures enter without being cast. Like, they've made several, like, pretty sweet, good for ninjutsu commanders, and they just never dethrone Yuriko. So, my hopes are not high that it dethrones Yuriko, but I do think this might be the second most popular ninja commander. And I do agree that compared to Yuriko, this does push you to play even more ninjas because its ability, you really are going to want to have as many ninjas as possible, and there's some very powerful ninjas to play with it, like Ingenious Infiltrator that draws a card whenever a ninja deals combat damage. You're gonna draw so many cards, or like Ink Eyes or the new Shark Ink Eyes that like steals creatures from your opponent's graveyard. There's some pretty sweet triggered abilities.
Is Miss Syndicate Naga.
Another copy, like they all
you have Scoot Swarm for ninjas right there, right?
I feel I feel like this might actually have the sauce to it. Won't I don't think it will dethrone Yuriko, because I think people are just attracted to like a high base power commanders, and Yuriko is going to have a higher base power because it just like says commander attacks doesn't apply to me. So I feel like that's going to be a thing. But this is Panharmonicon, and it specifically cares about ninjas, like Karim said. And I, like Seth, you mentioned there was other things that are like ninja commanders, but like I feel like casuals really want the word ninja on their ninja commander. It has to specifically care about ninjas. If it helps ninjas in a ninja adjacent way, that's not enough. It has to say like ninjas you control get way better. And the best way of getting something better for casuals is doubling triggers. We know Panharmonicon is like the most popular thing. That's why they slap it on everything. So I feel like this has the secret ingredients to become the most popular. And I actually brainstormed it. I think the one way to dethrone Yuriko legitimately is you print a new version of Splinter, but make it like anime waifu Splinter, like Ink Eyes. So you print out a rescreen like on Secret Lair or something, and you reprint Splinter, but he's Ink Eyes and he's anime waifu Ink Eyes. It's gonna be super sexy Ink Eyes in anime style. Maybe they'll bring like a very celebrated.
Just get the pre-release promo
anime
one.
Artist. Yeah. You gotta get an anime version, and it has to be fractured foil, you know. And then it'll top the charts. I guarantee you, it'll beat Yuriko in a heartbeat. Wizards, hire me, please. I'll make it happen.
let's move on to Phil's pick. What do you got, Phil?
Okay, I got brain thing. It's Krang,
a brain
mastermind.
Phil, be nice to yourself. I know you have a brain. Come on.
That's another crazy artifact payoff. It is 8 mana, but not really, obviously. Affinity for artifacts. It was super broken mechanic, as we know. And then it's a 1/4, which is not the broken part. But when it enters, if you have fewer than 4 cards in hand, draw cards equal to the difference. So you draw up to 4 cards. Like, yeah, up to your hand being 4, I guess also up to 4. And then it gets +1/+0 for each other artifact you control. So probably in an artifact deck, 2 blue mana for a probably 6/4 that draws around 1 card, let's be honest. Maybe I'm overestimating it. And in an artifact deck, you always have a full grip. Or you go super. I mean, if you play this as a commander, you can really go hard affinity, poop out 0 drops and draw 4, play this for cheap on turn 2 or maybe even turn 1 if you go high power. So I think this one is just very classic artifact affinity, like the Thought Monitor and all the other affinity things. And I think you can just play all of them in an artifact deck. They're cheap. This one might. I gotta say, if the cards don't have the actual turtles on it, if I get them in my hand, this one is going into my probably lowest deck. Kind of sucks that it's not 7 mana value, because then you could neoform into Craterhoof for cheap.
Ah, right.
That's I'm picky with this.
We needed to neoform into Craterhoof easier.
Go ahead, Domer.
I think I was just looking at it right now, and if I would brainstorm it, I would put this as a commander. I'd put basically every single mana rock in the 99. So you just cast this, you immediately refill, and then run like Displacer Kittens and stuff like that to constantly blink it. And then you don't really need other outside sources of card draw. You just mana rock, play Krang, blink Krang, do a bunch of stuff, give him unblockable, and then he starts just one-shotting people with commander damage. That seems fun.
Be a very cool commander. It's probably going to go into some 99 or in the future for my artifact decks. But as a commander, it is very streamlined, actually. Just like Thomas said, it also one-shots very easily, I think.
Yeah. And doesn't it also kind of cheat on the command tags? Like, if you play this and draw and sacrifice like it because of affinity, as long as you have more artifacts, like, the command tax is going to get paid for by the affinity, so you can keep recasting and draw more cards. I would play it in the 99 of other artifacts decks, too, like a Thought Monitor, just as, like, another way to draw cards. But, yeah, if you actually build around this and you have ways you can, like, sack it for value or blink it, it seems very, very strong. Maybe Hummerid Spawning Bed. Is it time for Hummerid Spawning Bed to finally...
It's never like
sack it and make a whole bunch of Camarids.
Isn't that Tomer's jam right there?
Well, we know what Tomer's jam
is. You put a floodgate, obviously.
Yes. All right. So for my final pick, I feel like we don't talk about removal spells enough on the podcast. So there's
true.
A removal spell. I knew Krim would agree. So removal spell, Stomp by the Foot. It's 2 mana. That's not my actual pick. I just wanted to see Tomer's okay. reaction there.
Why would you do this to me, son? I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Tomer. My actual pick is a much more Seth card. Here comes a new hero. It is 3 mana. An X, so blue to an X. For a sorcery, this says target player draws X cards, create a token that's a copy of up to one target creature with mana value X or less. So we've seen big mass card draw spells in the past, right? You have Blue Sun Zenith, you have Pull From Tomorrow. There's a whole bunch of these cards. But these cards have a problem. It's a Seagate Restoration problem, where if you tap out for a very expensive card draw spell during your turn, everyone's like, oh no, he just drew a whole bunch of cards. We better kill him before he gets to spend those cards. But here comes the new hero as a cool twist to that, which is letting you make a copy of the best thing on the battlefield as you draw the card. So this is essentially a big, like, Blue Sun Zenith at sorcery speed that's also going to impact the battlefield and give you this big blocker or some powerful ETB, depending on what's on the battlefield. And I think that really changes the equation. Like, I think it makes it safe for you to actually tap out in your main phase and, like, draw 5 cards and copy a 5 drop or something. Like, sure, you're spending all your mana, you're spending your turn, but because you're getting that creature on the battlefield, I think that actually makes this card worth it. But I'm curious what you guys think. Do you think making that creature token, plus then it triggers your caretaker's talent, or maybe you got, like, Birdaclad shenanigans where you need to make a token copy of something so you can, like, do additional things. But what do you guys think of Here Comes a New Hero?
What do you think? I think.
Phil's going to play it, right?
This is Phil's jam. Yeah, this is Phil's jam 100%. I think, like, I think that the main issue with this card, the main thing that I wouldn't put it in is basically, like, decks that don't generate a lot of mana. Because it's you need a 3 mana baseline, and then you start getting some value. So you need to be in a deck that generates a lot of mana. So you either like a green based deck or like just decks that generate a lot of mana. I have an Ashling deck. My latest deck is like a budget Ashling deck that is all about like its curve starts at 4 and it runs like all the 4 drop mana rocks, like even Hedron Archive, Thran Dynamo. And then I just want to cast huge spells. And this is like perfect for that because, like you said, I don't want to just spend an entire turn drawing cards and not advancing my board state because then I'm just going to die. So playing this and copying the best thing on the battlefield is actually really, really satisfying. That's like the type of thing I want to see after casting my Thran Dynamos and stuff.
Yeah.
Did you just find a way to essentially choose Will of the Teamer again? Phil is down with it because Phil is also down with Will of the Teamer.
It's actually very close.
I did put Will of the Teamer in my Ashing deck, to be fair, so I do think it's good there. Yeah,
so
I
guess like every blue deck.
If you're a Will of the Teamer believer, this is that, and arguably, I don't know. I mean, maybe Will of the Teamer would be better than this because you get whatever permanent on the battlefield and it's a 4/4.
And it's only
this
6
one you
mana,
have to
right?
pay.
Like you have to that's
yeah.
It.
Yeah. So
you
this that this
need your commander though for the draw.
Oh yeah, yeah. You need the commander for both. That's the only difference. Whereas this one you don't. So I could see it. If you're an enjoyer of that card, Will of the Teamer, you will love this card.
That's a good comparison.
That is actually a good comparison. And I think that's why I like the card so much, because I actually do play Will of the Team in like every blue deck. I think that card's like the blue Rishkar's expertise or whatever. So I just play it in every deck. Also seems very good in X spell decks. We didn't mention that, like Xara or Magus Lucia Kane. Like if you're doing shenanigans with X spells, then it gets even better along the lines. But anyway, I think those are our top TMT cards for Commander. We made it through. We didn't laugh too much about the card names and the art. So anyway, let us know in the comments what y'all think about this set. What's your favorite TMNT card? What's your favorite foot card? Let us know in the comments. Thanks for watching, everyone. I hope you enjoy it. And we'll be back next week to do it all again. So until then, have an amazing week. And this is the crew signing out.
Oh, God, the comments section.
Foot, 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 foot.
No, foot.